You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
And action!
What the fuck?
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
That is true. You say that every time, and every time it's true. What if it was a lie? What if just a completely different podcast started?
We've done that bit already, and I played a little bit of Burn Notice theme. So you got to come up with some fresh material.
I think if it was like a lie, though.
Like when you, like we.
So what? Like last time I did it, I was like, "It's not. It's a different podcast. It's mm-hmm. a better podcast." I'm saying, what if it really was a lie for real?
And then what would happen?
It just stops.
Just this is the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
I played the little end stinger.
Yeah, it's just over. Wait. Can we start again? I've got a better one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like from the top?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cut. And action. Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
It's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Oh, boy. Play the theme song. The theme song is fading out, so I get to say the beginning bits. Today we're going to be talking about the second serial of the 22nd season. It's a lot of twos of Doctor Who. Vengeance on Varos, which consists of two episodes. So many twos. Two episodes that aired from January 19th, 1985 to January 26th, 1985.
True fact!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring these episodes.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. Before we get into today's serial, Tony is drunk.
That's not true.
Tony is just wasted.
You don't need to be slandering me. It's rude.
Before we started recording, you made a post on Tumblr that said, uh-oh, I'm drunk and recording about to record a podcast, so...
On my private Tumblr, yeah.
It's not that private. It is easily found.
Yeah, but that's your fault, not mine.
Yeah, because I promote you, because I love you, and I want people to see
Use
your works.
My public Twitter.
I can't do that on Tumblr!
Sure you can.
I cannot have a conversation with you on Tumblr through the medium of posting back and forth,
the way
Tumblr works.
This conversation
also,
is not important.
Also, how many times do you post posts on Tumblr to try to get people to see it and, like, acknowledge it and reblog it?
Only when I've done a really good one and nobody's done it. This is not
okay,
important.
But you also don't want people to see it? To find it? Like, that's the most...
I don't want it to be, like, associated with me.
Ass backwards way...
Shut up.
...to get noticed on Tumblr.
The important thing is...
You need to establish your brand.
Asserted... That is what my Twitter is for. You asserted that I am drunk. I have had a single glass of champagne relatively quickly, but that's it.
Okay, so you'll sober up by the time...
It's fine.
We only do this on, like, multi-doctor episodes, Tony. You're two serials early for this. Two again.
That's an angel number, by the way.
An angel number? Two?
Yeah. Well, angel numbers are, like, numbers that you see everywhere. And they have specific messages. So if you see, like, 22 all the time, or, like, 222, and then you look it up and it's like, that means... That you're gonna win the lottery soon.
Oh, nice.
And that's how angel numbers work.
I technically play the lottery every week. Not me.
I'm not saying that's what two means.
No, I want that to be what two means.
Well, I'm just saying it might. That might
I
want to
win the lottery, Tony. Do not take this away from me.
Should we start the podcast?
Sure.
I don't think we could keep just bullshitting forever. Oh,
no. Yeah, we sure we could. That's what all podcasts are.
I don't think we
are.
Should.
No?
No.
Is there anything we need to talk about before we start?
No.
Okay. So, let's dive right into the Vengeance on Varos. Episode 1, which I have called The Punishment Dome. Because that's the name of the show, isn't it? It's the show within the show.
It is.
So we start off on some nice fancy shots.
I was going to say, you, the whole time this was happening, and it's like a guy being tortured, and like the whole time it's happening, Joe is like, what a nice shot. What a beautiful shot. This looks so good. And it's like a shirtless man chained to the wall being like zapped at, and Joe's like, exquisite.
I don't think I have to explain myself. But also, the camera's moving, the lighting's really good. There's, like, lights moving around a lot in this area. It's not just, like, it's well lit. Like, it's dark, but there's, like, little spotlights everywhere. It's very...
atmospheric.
Yeah.
Atmospheric.
Yeah, it's good. It's just... it sets a mood. This guy who's chained up, we'll learn his name eventually, is Jondar. He is played by Sean Connery's son.
Truthfully?
Truthfully. Oh. I think his name's Jason Connery. I could be mixing that up. Apparently, he went on to be in another show that was pretty popular. I have to say, his acting in this serial is fucking terrible. He's not a good actor, which is surprising considering his dad is Sean Connery, who is... I don't know if he's a good actor or if he just has that voice.
He just sounds like that. No one's noticed that he can't act.
I saw him play a Spaniard once, and he just still... sounded like Sean Connery. That's Highlander, by the way.
Never seen it.
There's a whole series of them, but there should have only been one. That is both my opinion of Highlander and also a joke. Because the whole thing of Highlander is there can be only one, and there should have only... Anyway, so...
God, if you were saying words, I did not hear them.
I'm going to say that's because you're drunk, because I was being really hilarious. You guys get it. So, anyway, that guy's chained up and being shot at by, like, a laser device, and we cut to two people, a married couple? I presume they're married. I think they say they're married. I don't remember. Eric, or Arak? A-R-A-K. I don't know.
That
Arak,
is...
Arak, Arak, Arak,
some
Arak.
Real fantasy bullshit.
Eric and Etta are watching it on their television, and they are...
the best part of this serial.
Yeah, they're basically a sitcom couple.
A sitcom couple, but in a dystopia where they don't trust each other.
Also, they do not interact physically with any of the rest of the cast. They are only in this room.
No, you're right. They're basically like weird asides.
They're the viewing audience.
Crazy thing, too. They are the viewing audience. So, like, wild shit will be happening, and then occasionally it'll cut to them, and they'll be like, what a weird episode.
Or
it's
like
amazing.
Just discussing like how the structure of Doctor Who works. It's fantastic. I mean, they have their own little like plot as well that's not quite as meta, but it's still primarily just being meta.
Yeah. So what are they have like basically different politics. The way that like voting works in this this world is that you have like a big TV and then buttons on either side of it that are like yes, no. And that's how all voting works.
Yeah, there's a yes-no button on both sides of the TV, one for each of them.
And one of them, the woman, like, really believes in... What is his position?
The governor.
The governor.
The governor! As it is sometimes pronounced.
Really believes in the governor. I guess really believes in, like, the government.
Yeah.
The guy less so.
I don't know. I think she's specifically into this dude specifically and not so much... the way that the government works. But, I mean, she is a little bit. Definitely more so than the other guy. The other guy's just like, I don't like anybody. Fuck all of them. I hate... this guy's just... haven't had this bad a governor since... And she goes, the last one? It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So he just doesn't like any of them. They're both right and they're both wrong.
It's true.
But there's also, like, they do, like, little adorable bits, like, throughout the whole thing. That just, like, really funny comedy bits. Like, he gets some rations and there's not a lot of food. And he's like, I don't even know what this is. And she's like, I don't know. I just pull it out of the thing. And he's like, ugh. And he like shoves it aside. And then she goes to grab the food. And he's like, well, hey, hold on a second. And just grabs it back. The governor's going to be on TV tonight. I need something to throw at the TV. He's complaining about the fact that there is going to be a vote tonight. The governor's doing a vote. And he does not want to do the vote. And I think he even like, you can just vote for me. And she's like, You can't do that. That's not how it works.
That's illegal.
And he's like, who's going to tell on me? And she's like, I will. But they're
really adorable. They have an interesting dynamic.
Speaking of fighting over food, the next scene we get is the doctor and Perry just bickering at each other, but in kind of
most it's ever worked.
Yeah, because she's like, you're doing all this shit and everything's going so poorly. You burnt my dinner last night. And he's like, what? She's like, it was supposed to be a cold supper.
She's actually like smiling and laughing in this scene and not almost crying. It's almost fun.
It's light teasing. It goes on a bit longer in the deleted scenes that are on the DVD. And then it gets uncomfortable.
Really?
Like, it just goes on so much and, like, it gets more yelly and shouty. I'm glad they cut it.
Are you ever, like, out with a couple who are like, oh, all couples, like, bicker. And that's part of being, like, a healthy couple. But then, like, they're just, like, too angry.
What do you mean?
No, but seriously.
What do you mean? I can't even do the bit seriously.
No. It's uncomfortable. And then they're just like, oh, that's what, you know, you've got to be able to like bicker to get along. And it's like, no, y'all need to have a serious talk.
I will say, I think you should be able to banter.
Yeah.
Banter's good. Bickering is
less able to bicker a little bit, because you need to be able to be like, oh, I've just realized if I don't eat soon, we'll have a real fight.
I think you also need to be good with a sword.
Yeah, for sure.
Fisticuffs, just various sort of physical arts. Is that what you call them? I don't know. Like, I don't want to just say martial arts. Like, you need to be trained in all of the disciplines.
Right. In but order to have a good, healthy relationship.
Right. And that's not just like a relationship thing. That's just like a nice, well-rounded life. But the next scene we get is we see the governor arguing with a guy, the governor of this planet, which we'll learn is Varos, about the price of Zyton 7 ore. And the guy he's arguing with doesn't want to pay much for it. And
you can't just gloss over the guy he's arguing with.
Do you mean the governor? The governor is just this normal looking guy.
I do not
who wears
mean
like
the governor.
A coat, and he just seems like just, you know, your stereotypical sort of white guy. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean the slug dude.
Oh, Syl. He's a little silly.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he's like up on this like pedestal thing. He's just this small slug guy, flippers and slimy, and he does this thing a lot where he goes la 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 la.
Oh no. La, 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 he does la, do that.
He just waggles his tongue when he's excited. He's very
that's
gross.
Not, it's not great. La, 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 la.
When we were watching it for the live stream, every time he'd do it, I would just turn to Tony and do the same thing to gross him out.
It was awful.
I had a hard time. Like, I couldn't figure out for a while if the guy playing Syl was like somebody standing inside of the pedestal thing with like into the costume.
Yeah. But it's not, right? Because
no,
you can see through it.
You can see through it. So it. And I've looked it up. It's a little person in costume. He's got his legs and a little flipper thing.
It's a good costume. And I'll say this also. That dude's having a lot of fun.
He's like giving a performance.
Yeah.
It's great. Because I was looking him up on IMDb. He reprised this character in 2019 for like a fan thing or whatever. You know, like an unofficial Doctor Who thing. I think there's one of the companions is in it as well. I don't remember which one. But yeah, he's still, his costume looks way better now than it did then. I mean, it's still pretty good. It's like very juicy though.
Oh, you gotta love it though when like fan stuff has better production quality
than yeah.
The original stuff.
It's also like, what, 20 something years later?
Yeah.
So. Whoa, shit, 40.
Oh.
Right? 80s.
Yeah.
I'm permanently stuck at the year 2000.
I know.
I think 80, 20 years later, 2000. That's today. I just hit 2000 and stopped. But he's also like carried around, like these two guys move his little
pedestal
around.
He's basically on like one of those carts they used to bring TVs in when you were going to watch a movie instead of have glass. That's what he's on.
Except the cart is also full of like bubbling liquid for some reason.
I think he's got to stay wet. He's got to stay wet.
He's a moist boy.
What?
The two guys that carry him around are just like these big beefy dudes in like S&M looking gear. They just have like straps. They're like shirtless, but they have straps on them and like helmets and stuff. There's a lot of shirtless dudes in this serial. I don't know if you noticed.
I didn't notice. So you gotta stop.
I can't.
Basically is a dick.
I think you were closer to the truth when you said slug.
I'm saying he is like the only person. He's got a contract like with this whole planet and with the mine. And they're trying to negotiate the price, and he's lowballing them, basically.
Right. The governor doesn't have, like, a specific contract with him. It's with his people. I forget where he's from. He's like a representative of this planet. I forget what it's called. It's like Galactron 7. I don't remember. But the governor's like, listen, we don't need your money. We've actually been making more money on the side with a little side hustle selling Punishment Dome videos, which they sort of explain that, like, they torture people, they film it, they sell the tapes for money. So they're not as reliant on this dude, this slimy guy's money.
He gets real hard about it, too.
He does. He's like, oh, that sounds exciting. I want to watch some of these tapes. But he's also won't budge on his price. And he's like, I'm just going to wait for the vote. Because if they can't agree on a thing, then the governor, like, he's like, I'm saying, like, it's $7 an ore. I don't know what the... But, like, and he's like, well, can you make it 9? He's like, no, it's 7. 7 only. So the governor has to ask his people, like, should I take his offer of 7 or hold out for more money?
But, like, they're not getting paid at all right now is the thing.
Right. And he's like, also, if I hold out for more, there's a possibility that we might have to cut back on
rations
and stuff. So Syl's like, I'm just going to wait for the vote. I'm not going to up my price. You're just going to have to get vote, and maybe you'll die, and I'll get a... There'll be a new governor that I can deal with who will accept my price.
Man, on the one hand, that seems like a terrible system.
Right.
On the other hand...
You would like to kill some public officials. I don't know if you can say that on a podcast. I think that might be illegal or something.
All I said was, on the other hand... I did not finish that sentence.
You did not agree with what I proposed.
No, not at all.
Right.
What you've said is completely, completely irresponsible, completely unethical.
Right.
Not something that I morally agree with at all.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand.
All right, let's move on before we get arrested. Because people can't rewind podcasts. Meanwhile, the TARDIS stalls in the void of space, and the Doctor basically gives up. He's like, fuck it. It's broke. Can't do shit. And he sits in a chair, and Perry's like,
totally gives up. Not only does he totally give up, but Perry's like, is like 100% convinced that this is her life now.
And he's like, oh, it's gonna be easy for you. You'll just die. I'll just sit here and regenerate over and over until I die. And it's going to be way worse for me. And then just sits there and pouts. And she's like, what the fuck? Honestly, this whole plot is a little much, but also feels like padding. Like, just get to the planet already.
Oh, for sure.
Then we cut back and we see that Syl has been bribing the chief officer. He works with the governor and he's a bald boy. He's bald and he's got a very nice mustache. He looks like if you gave him a top hat, he would be a ringleader at a circus. So basically, Syl has an in with the government of this planet. He hangs out with this dude a lot, and like he's on Syl's side, basically. So then the governor goes live, and everyone votes.
He loses.
Yes. The woman votes yes, Etta votes yes, and Arak votes no. And she's very like, but, you know, what can she do? Everybody gets a vote.
Everybody gets a vote.
He does not win and is hit with a cell disintegration beam. Etta can't watch. She covers her eyes. While Eric's like, go on, finish him, finish him.
But he doesn't die.
He doesn't die.
Apparently this is not the first time this has happened either.
It's his third loss in a row, which apparently is a record. Like, usually they die by now. Because it basically just fucks you up a little bit. Just this bombardment of things. And he's just tough, I guess.
Sure.
Syl is ready to continue negotiations, but the governor is tired because he just got bombarded a bit. And he's like, just give me... a goddamn minute. But, like, Syl wants to, like, do it right now because he has motivations to take over the planet. You know, He's a bad guy.
Sometimes you just want to take over a whole planet.
Yeah, why not? And he's also, not only that, but if he takes over the planet, he also takes over the ore. And if he takes over the ore, because he is like, this kept is them a, in the dark about the fact that that shit's in demand.
It's only on that planet.
Yeah.
It doesn't really occur anywhere else. And like, they don't know that.
Yeah. And so he's been like, nobody wants this ore shit. Give it to me for cheap. But really, it's very expensive. And he's just an asshole.
A slug.
Meanwhile, Perry finds the TARDIS manual, propping open a vent, and says, here you go, here's the TARDIS manual, fix the TARDIS. And he's like, I read this once, and then chucks it to the floor. And he's like, anyway, I know what's wrong with the TARDIS, it's just not fixable. But I guess I'll look at the book anyway, just to confirm that I'm right.
Basically amounts to like it's out of gas, right? Like
basically,
like
yeah.
The doctor did not fill up the tank.
It's out of this stuff. They have enough.
You know the really rare ore that we were talking about in the other plot line?
It's
you'll
that.
Never guess what the doctor needs to fix his TARDIS.
Mercury. No, it's this stuff, and like they have just enough energy to get to Varos, basically, which is where you can get it from. And it actually happens later because this plot line goes on for ages.
We have to get through more padding before we can get to that.
I don't super mind because all the stuff on Varos is like interesting. I actually think the Dr. Perry scenes are like dragging it down. I'm like, I want to get back to the interesting stuff. Then we meet Aretta, who is Jondar's wife. Jondar is the dude that was tied up at the beginning. And a guard, Rondell, tells her that Jondar is going to be executed. And she's like, he's only going to be executed because he found out stuff about this planet that they don't want getting out. That basically, it's a prison planet. That this sort of situation, no one's like, I don't know. Everyone in power is just really corrupt and stuff. Like, he saw them, and they were, like, you know, chilling out in jacuzzis and stuff. And he's like, what? I don't know. Basically,
we've got to talk. Hang on.
I don't know. It's very confusing.
One, I've never seen you struggle to construct a sentence like you just did just now.
Really? I am a terrible talker. I don't know why we do a podcast.
Two, in your head.
Yeah.
Your idea of, like, political corruption.
Yes.
Is people hanging out in jacuzzis.
Yeah. Well, here's what she literally says. I'm Googling it. Do you know what he found? What he saw? While the rest of us toil without hope, the officer elite enjoy power and luxury.
Okay, so again.
And then Rondell says, lies! And she says, Varos is what it always was, a prison planet, a colony for the criminally insane. The descendants of the original officers still rule by fear, with the spectacle of death our only entertainment. That is what Jondar found, what he learned. That is why they want to kill him.
Okay.
So you saw him hanging out in jacuzzis.
So again, basically what you're telling me is your idea of luxury is hanging out in jacuzzis.
Sounds pretty luxurious to me.
I mean, it does sound nice. God, do you know what I would give to be in a jacuzzi, right? To be in a hot tub with a glass of champagne? That would be nice.
Now imagine you saw your governor doing
that. Hanging out in jacuzzis.
Just, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I just read you the entire dialogue there. That seems like hella vague. Like, what the fuck did he see? I don't understand.
Hanging out in jacuzzis.
Oh, okay.
He saw mad jacuzzi parties and was like, whoa.
I gotta tell the people.
This is a mess.
So, we talked about that they're working on the TARDIS. Whatever. There are a couple of things about it. One, the doctor figures out, like, oh shit, there is something wrong. I can fix it. And then just acts like Perry has been hopeless this whole time. He's like, don't give up hope. Not yet. And she's like, what the fuck? But also, she's reading off, like, stuff in the manual while he fixes it, and there's a bit where she says, blah, blah, like, I don't know, a bunch of letters and numbers, like, it's the defibrillator, AB76Z.
The technical part of the defibrillator.
And she's like, it's the, you know, it's the LMX AB5Z. And he says, Z? Z. You know.
Because she's American.
And then the doctor pets his cat again and does a thing. I always like when he pets his cat. I think that's a nice little bit of continuity. And then that's when they figure out they need the Cyton 7 ore and head to Varos. Back to Aretta. who is in a prison cell. I didn't say that earlier, but she's in a prison cell because, I don't know, she agrees with her husband that those people are in jacuzzis. And we meet another villain, this motherfucker in a mask named Quillum, which is just William with a Q. Quillum has real hardcore Jim Carrey vibes. I don't understand it. He seems like both Jim Carrey and the guy who plays Harold Lauder in The New Stand.
Okay.
I think it's partially just the greasy hair, but also just the way he moves his body. He just tells Aretha how he's going to torture her by concentrating her fear, and whatever her fear is will turn her into an animal based on that fear. Probably a reptile, he says. He's like, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't understand this thing.
It concentrates your fear and turns you into an animal.
Right, right. Okay.
And it's based on something on the planet that, like, when people were mining, they started growing claws. We never see a single person with claws.
It's just... Bullshit. Just because you want to see someone with claws? This isn't terrible. I mean, it's not terribly well thought out, right?
Yeah. It's not well developed.
It's an idea that somebody was like, and then add this in here. It's just like a thing that's in here to be weird.
Yeah.
And that's it.
My biggest issue with it, I mean, yeah, it doesn't really tie into anything. I mean, this whole place is a torture planet, so that checks out. But, like, the fact that that's, like, we don't see any results of that. Unless that fucking fly we meet later used to be a dude.
Also, and this is important, the one time that it is used, everybody looks cool as hell.
Right?
Like,
well, Aretha doesn't look great.
That's true.
Perry looks cool. Aretha looks goopy.
What did she turn into? I don't remember.
A reptile of some sort. But it, like, looked
bad. Like that it's just, like, most people turn into reptiles. Like, that's just a thing that we know. Probably a reptile. Almost everybody turns into some kind of reptile. Why?
Yeah. People want to be reptiles.
Or they don't want to be reptiles.
They don't want to be reptiles, right. I don't know. It's weird.
It's not. It's also not important.
It's not. Not at all. You could have got rid of the whole thing and it wouldn't have affected the serial at all. But it's fine. It's weird. It's whatever. And then the chief officer comes to tell Jondar of his imminent execution. Tells him he's got 5 minutes. And he's like, I was supposed to, like, talk to the governor and, you know, have a trial. But he's like, meh, too late. The chief officer starts to head out and checks to make sure that the guard on the laser thing has his anti-hallucination helmet turned on. And then the TARDIS materializes in the room and the guard starts shooting at it. The things bounce off, and so he thinks that his helmet's messed up and he's hallucinating. And he's like, can I please leave and get my helmet fixed? And they're like, wait till after the execution.
Nope, you may not.
So he heads back over to the thing, just assuming that the TARDIS isn't real. And then the Doctor and Perry come out, and in a moment that I think is truly adorable, they do, like, a comedy little pop their heads out thing.
Also, is this the point where, like, they kind of do a bit and Perry's actually playing along?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, he pops out and goes, hello. And she pops out behind him and goes, hi. And it's, like, actually cute. And the guard, like, thinks that they're hallucinations. He's like, my helmet's all messed up. And they're like, no, we're here to fix the helmet. And she's like, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're here to fix your helmet. And then the doctor fights him and shoves him into Jondar, who kicks him. And then the guard falls down and is vanquished. And then there's a hilarious bit where, you know, they've knocked this guard down and Jondar's still chained up. And the doctor goes, hi, nice to meet you, or whatever. And then holds out his hand to be shaken. And Jondar looks at him like, I'm chained. And all of this is broadcast on television. So everybody's watching. And Syl's like, is this supposed to be happening? And they're like, no, we'll just send more people down to figure out what's going on. And then also the governor just passes out because he's very tired.
Man, do you know what? I love the idea of, like, a planet that has television that's, like, largely just murder porn.
It's all just Saw.
But, like, it slowly morphs more and more into, like, a sitcom. There's, like, this weird middle in between. Because, like, really what happens is, you know, like, the doctor's running around and they're trying to figure out who he is and they're trying to catch him. And, like, occasionally they'll cut to that couple and they'll like have opinions. They'll be like, I like him, he's funny looking, stuff like that, or you know,
yeah, they're watching Doctor
they're,
Who.
They're watching Doctor Who, but like, I just imagine like this weird, like a world like that that develops this weird middle ground where it's like, oh, people like having like characters, and they like them having an arc, and they also like when we murder prisoners, and so it's just like both at the same time.
I mean, I think you've described how reality television started. While we were watching this,
we were streaming it,
and Christine Cherry was watching the live stream. So Chris was watching us watch these people watching Doctor Who.
It was amazing.
It was very Inception-y. So the Doctor and Perry use the machine that was going to kill him to zap him out of his chains. And they go to head back to the TARDIS, but there are guards there that arrived on a little go-kart thing, a golf cart.
They must have had that go-kart for an amount of time, because they sure do use it a lot.
And it is the slowest. They could walk faster than this thing. There are multiple, like, chase scenes of them on these fucking go-karts, and I'm like, well, they're like, we need to get to this place real quick, and it's like, walk! But anyway, they can't go back to the TARDIS because it's surrounded by guards. So the Doctor just maneuvers the death laser around and like, eh, this will keep him at bay. We'll go find another way out. And a guard walks right into the path of the laser beam and fucking vanishes from existence.
Mm.
So the Doctor has murdered one person so far. Then a chase scene happens. They're chased by the golf cart. The Doctor kills the lights. Arak and Edda are watching, and it's adorable. But a hand beckons them into a cell. They jump in there and hide as the guards go past. And they are teamed up with Aretta and Rondell, who is now... Rondell was the guard, and he's like, I'm going to help you guys now.
Because they were friends.
Because they... Yeah. Aretta and Jondar are reunited, and it feels so good. They fill the Doctor in on the plot. Everyone is overworked and starving, and things suck. And the Doctor's like, but you guys have Zaitan 7. You shouldn't be so, like, poor and stuff. Jondar's like, who wants that? The Doctor's like, I wouldn't say no to a little. He does it very, like, Three Stooges-y. I don't know. Not Three Stooges-y. Laurel and Hardy. That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
So, but, like, Rondell's like, I'm going to help you guys escape because I'm a guard and I know my way around here. They leave and he immediately gets shot. Dies. Immediately.
That's why I did not remember him. You saw, I was looking right? at the notes like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Doesn't last long. He has just a very brief... I will be heroic, and then dies. You know, there's a whole bunch of torture rooms, but there is presumably a freedom route that should lead to an exit. But the Doctor doesn't care. He just wants to get back to the TARDIS. And they're like, but that means going through the Purple Zone.
The Purple Zone is an amazing name for, like, the most dangerous part of this torture planet. Because it's it sounds fine. Let's go to the Purple Zone.
Well, the Purple Zone is fine? They walk into this room that is lit by purple light. There's a giant fucking fly in it. That's all it is. It's a giant fucking fly. And the Doctor's like, close your eyes. I figured this out. And they close their eyes and walk through it because it's not real.
Because it's an illusion.
Brought on by the purple light, by the way. He's like, the purple light plays on your cortex and it amplifies an image. And then, because in the next room they find a tiny fly and he's like, it's this little guy. And he catches it and shows it. And then he lets it go. I thought that was nice. He let it go. To torture other people.
I mean, how freaked out would you be if you saw a giant fly?
Good point.
Like, you wouldn't love it.
No. You're right. But they do get through it awfully easy.
I mean, they do have to say, too, where it's like, some things are fake, but some things are real. Because if we just said everything in the Purple Zone is fake, it's really not scary, is it?
Well, then, like, the next thing they see is these two giant green eyes pop up. And they're like, it would be just like them to put a real monster right after a fake one. And then it's just two lights.
Which is very local cryptid of them.
Right, our local cryptid is Green Eyes. But that's like two shitty things, both in a row. A visual illusion, and then just some lights on a stick.
Do they even come up against anything real in the Purple Zone?
I don't think so. But they are getting good viewing figures, they are told. Well, not they're not told that, like, Syl and everybody are told. Like, we're getting great ratings on this.
This is what I'm saying, they're slowly figuring out. You gotta have some, like, tension. You gotta have some character arcs in there.
So they get back to where the TARDIS should be, but it's gone. because Syl got it. Syl has it and is trying to open it because he wants inside of it to see what's up with it. So they're like, I don't know what to do now. I guess we just got to find that freedom route. Ugh. So they're all wandering down hallways and the golf cart catches up to them. Catches all of them but the doctor. The doctor gets away and the guards come up to them. And one of them slaps Perry.
Oh, yeah.
That guard's semi-important. He has a scene in the second episode. I didn't realize it until I was making the Jeffs. I was like, oh, that's the same guy. So this guard comes back in a big way, but I don't even know his name. But the doctor has, like, got separated from them during this whole thing. And he walks through this little doorway, and then it shuts behind him, and he can't get out. It's just, like, wooden slats, too. And he turns around, and there's a big bright light on him, and he heads towards the light. Meanwhile, the governor gives an update saying that the doctor is in a no-option kill zone. So vote yes on killing him, please. And they do. Everyone votes yes, so he doesn't get bombarded again. He's like, do we kill him or do we not? And everyone's like, yeah, kill him.
That was no option.
Well, I mean, they could get him out of there. Do they just let him continue into the thing or do they get him out? I'm like, go ahead and kill him. We want to see him die. And then a very sweaty doctor, very sweaty. You thought Syl was sweaty, moist. This doctor is dripping. Ugh. Collapses in a mirage of sand. In which there's also a mirage of Perry offering some water and then taking it away. And then we cut to Arak and Etta watching it. They're like, we have anything to drink?
I love this scene so much because honestly, what happened is that Joe and I were watching this scene and I was like, do we have anything to drink? So
the episode ends very soon and we went and got drinks.
Okay, but here's the really amazing thing. The episode ends and we'll talk about it because
we have things to say about this ending.
Because it's very clever, the thing that they do. But the important thing is in the next episode, they come back and in the break in between the two episodes, they also went and got drinks. And so literally as we're watching like the scene happen of like them coming back with their like one of them went and got water and like passed it around and was like, we just did that. I've never felt so manipulated by a television program as I did in that moment.
Speaking of that, let's talk about that ending.
Yes.
So the doctor collapses close up on his face as he appears to just be dead. He just stops moving. I gotta say, like, that's a really good acting thing, too, because he's like, and he just completely collapses and stops moving.
Yeah.
It's very good. Colin Baker,
solid
good job.
Death.
And then just cuts to his face, and his eyes are open, which is the way you do it when you're dead. Some people just close their eyes when they're like, they die, fake die, and it's like, no, your eyes would still be open, right?
Your eyes get itchy.
So he's just there motionless, and it's a close-up of his face, and you're like, all right, this is definitely a good cliffhanger. And then we cut to the control room where everybody's watching this and they're like, how long do we need to hold on this? And then the governor's like, and cut. And then it cuts and then the end credits happen. It's the most glorious thing I've ever seen on Doctor Who. Hands down, the best cliffhanger we've had so far, for sure.
It's magnificent.
It's a meta cliffhanger. I love it. I was screaming in delight when it happened. I loved it so much.
Also, the Doctor is just dead. And it's for a like, long time.
Yeah.
You know, like the...
Or as Syl says, dead is death.
He does say that.
And then goes, la, 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 la. Perry's also watching this happen, by the way, because they pulled her into the room. So she also gets to witness this on TV. Such a good cliffhanger.
And cut.
Oh, it made me so happy. I'm still like jazzed about it. Anyway, that's the end of episode one. And we are now into episode two, which I've called Perry Vision.
Oh.
A play on television and also WandaVision.
Yeah.
You get it.
Get it.
Yeah, it's relevant now. Actually, the show's over by now. I wonder how the last episode was. Was the last episode good?
Don't y'all tell us the spoilers.
Well, we'll have seen it by now. Not us now, but us in the future. Recording podcasts is weird. So, Perry's upset about this, obviously. And they explain that his...
The explanation for why he died is the dumbest shit.
His mind told him that he was very thirsty and dying of thirst, so his body agreed with his mind.
And he died.
Then Arak and Etta get some water and watch the doctor being taken to an acid bath. There's another body there that's in like a, I don't know, like a garbage bag looking thing, a body bag. And they throw that body in.
This is amazing too, because there's another very meta moment where they cut back to that couple and he's like, they always do that so that you can see how acidic it is. They've got to throw in another body before they throw in this body to establish
how it works.
How it works. And like, that's it. That's the scene. It's
and
great.
And she's just like, shut up. Also, there's a moment where like the doctor twitches to show that he's not dead. And then Ed is like, oh, he moved. He's not dead. And then he's like, oh, they always do this. It's so like you have reactions and then they have the reactions you're having. It's so good.
It's delightful.
The doctor gets up as the attendants. There's like two attendants. I don't know. They've thrown the body in and they're not looking at the doctor. And he gets up and he's like, I've had the most peculiar dream. And they're like, oh, fuck, dead guy's awake. And like they jolt. And one of them in this process of jolting bumps the other one who falls into the acid. The one that didn't fall into the acid starts fighting with the doctor, like trying to grab him. And the doctor's got like this little gurney in between him and is like struggling with him. And then the burning alive, melting guy who fell into the acid bath rises from it and like is swimming towards the edge, grabs the other guy and pulls him in too.
Did they get in trouble for this?
They did.
Okay.
A lot of people thought it was too violent and stuff. Or and also like
it's
specifically
kind of a lot.
Specifically how the doctor doesn't seem to give a shit. Because
he
just
afterwards.
He puts his coat on or whatever and leaves, and before he heads out he goes, forgive me if I don't join you, and then like leaves. But yeah, a lot of people were like pissed about it. I don't care. I think it's funny. It's very dark.
Cold hearted.
But it's funny. I feel like the doctor's done worse stuff.
Oh, that might be fair.
He almost brained a dude with a rock one time. He's killed people before. He killed Chameleon. He killed Chameleon.
I don't know if you'll ever be over that.
I won't. It's so fucked up. He killed a companion. Anyway, also, this scene gets twisted in people's heads a little bit, too. A lot of people, like, when they're complaining about this scene, will say the doctor
pushed
them in, and he doesn't. I mean, he's fighting them and stuff.
Yeah, here's the thing about the scene, though.
He is not responsible for their deaths.
Would have pushed them in.
Would he?
He's definitely trying to at some point.
He's trying to just keep him away from himself.
Is he?
Yeah. It's not like he just set up a laser for a guard to walk into.
He's definitely pushing him towards the acid. So I could see how you would remember that.
Right.
Because he's got like this big gurney and he's shoving it into the guy towards the acid. And then right after that happens, the second guy comes and pulls him down and you're kind of like, oh, thank God. Because I really thought I was about to watch the doctor push this guy into acid and that wouldn't have made me feel good. So like, I see how it happens.
But he didn't do it though.
But it almost seems incidental that he didn't do it.
He didn't.
He would have. He
didn't do it though.
But he would have.
He didn't do it though. And Batman didn't shoot those bad guys. He shot the things next to them that exploded. Just wanted to get my little Zack Snyder dig in there.
All right. I mean, you've also got to apply the same thing to Daredevil. Daredevil, like, I don't kill people, and I also don't understand how brain injuries work.
I feel like that's been done once before. Like, some superhero who's like, I don't kill people, but he, like, beats the shit out of them. And, like, there's these other heroes that are keeping that a secret from him, that he's actually doing severe damage to these people.
Oh, no.
Because he gets results. If that's just something that's in my head and not actually a real thing, I should write that.
You should write that shit down.
Meanwhile, the governor is kind of interrogating Perry and also being just a big emo boy. She's like sad about the doctor's death and he's like, oh, right. I forgot people still do that sometimes. I no longer mourn death. In fact, it is my only friend, my constant and loving companion.
He's talking about your dad.
Yeah, my dad plays death in
a lot of
things.
How does that make you feel?
You
have someone talking about your dad like that.
I'm glad he's got friends.
Okay.
I don't know. Those are some, like, emo band lyrics, right?
Oh, for sure.
And this is not the only scene where he gets that sort of level of, like, angst. Anyway, the governor is told about the doctor's escape. He wants to capture him and use Perry to get information out of him. Like, the threat of harming Perry, you know, will get information out of the doctor. The doctor is wandering around. He puts on a mask, like Quillum has, but is immediately caught by Quillum. Like, who the fuck are you? Why are you wearing my mask? He's like, I'm just, you know, a guy. I do science. We're science. We do science, right? Me and you, we're both science guys. And Quillum's like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Just take the mask off and I'm going to take you in now. The doctor does this great bit where he's like, after you. And he's like, I don't think so.
I like Quillum's deal where they're just like, gotta have a weird scientist and half a mask. You gotta.
Yeah, you do. With a fucked up face.
You just gotta.
You gotta do Phantom of the Opera. It's just what you do in Doctor Who. You had Magnus Creel. You've had Jet. What's his name?
Jex?
Jack? I think it's Jack, yeah. Usually it's in a Robert Holmes episode, but...
Robert Holmes isn't the only person who can do Phantom of the Opera characters.
You're right, you're right. Thank you, Eric Sayward. wow, this episode's getting very referential. It's the meta episode.
Yeah.
So Perry tells the truth to the governor, tells him, like, you know, Time Lords and TARDISes, and this is what's going on. And no one believes her because it sounds like bullshit. And they're like, we'll get the truth out of you. We're going to put you in the reshapement chamber.
Remember that thing we talked about? How everybody just becomes reptiles for some reason?
Or moles, I guess? I don't know.
Who became a mole?
Well, I mean, they said they were digging and they got claws.
Oh.
That's a mole, right?
Yeah. Moles got claws, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen a mole.
I've seen a mole. They look like big rats, almost.
With claws?
I don't know. I didn't really look at their feet. The governor is informed of the doctor's capture by Quillum, and so he orders a primitive execution. And they're like, ooh, we haven't had one of those in a while. Ooh.
I just had like a visceral flashback.
Two?
I've seen a mole once. It was a mole baby.
Oh.
And it was inside my dog's food bin.
Oh, was it like pink?
Yeah. It was like dark, and I had like, I was like filling up her bowl, and I just like used the bowl as a scoop and like scooped the food out, and in the food was the like mole baby, and I saw it and I screamed and I chucked the bowl, and it was like a ceramic bowl. I broke it. And Mom was like, what?
That's gross.
Like, what just happened? And I was like, there's something in it. There's a thing. I just remembered that just now.
Just dredging up repressed memories.
It really did. Huh.
So, do you think if you were to be put in the reshapement chamber,
I might become a mole?
A baby mole? A little pink baby mole?
A little pink baby mole. That would be me.
Baby Mole Tony. That sounds like a gangster. Baby Mole Tony.
Where were we before I had a mole breakdown?
I don't know. They're going to order a primitive execution. This next note isn't really important. It's foreshadowing. Etta fills out a viewer's report while watching two men wrestle over a bone on television. We will see those men later. But it's nice that they, like, see them early on. Meanwhile, a priest and a whole bunch of, like, chanty choir dudes show up outside of a cell. Like a big prison-looking thing, like bars. Come for the doctor and Jondar. And that's I think it's adorable. Like, a guard opens the cell door and comes in for the doctor. And the doctor is just sitting there and very pleasantly goes, hello. I think I really like Colin Baker.
Yeah.
He's very good.
This is a weird time. Because it's weird to be watching him being like, there's so much that's broken and just doesn't work. And also be like, but the stuff that does work is really fun. It's really good.
I will say this serial isn't broken like the other two serials have been.
Yeah. I think it might be fair to say that this is like the most this has ever worked.
Yeah. Like, there's very little about this that makes me go, oh God. There's a couple of, like, Perry-Doctor fighty moments that I don't care for, but overall, this feels like Doctor Who.
Yeah.
In a way that it sometimes tries to get away from. So they all, they're being led to the execution. The doctor asks the priest, do you always get the priest parts? Because he's aware that this is theater. And they're in the chant, they say, like, the priest is chanting, and, like, if you pay attention to it, it's just, like, stuff like, we're all gathered here in the sight of the great video.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to it at all. That's amazing.
And they get led to, like, some gallows where there's, like, nooses. They're told that they're going to hang the men and reshape the women.
Don't know why.
So the women are taken away. That's Perry and Aretta. And the doctor and Jondar are about to be put in the nooses. They ask the doctor if he has any last requests. And he's like, I have one. Why is he here? And he points to Syl. And they're like, he's come for you know, Zaitan or whatever. He's not important. And the doctor's like, okay. And like, anything else? And he's like, no, that's good. And they get taken, they get put in the nooses, and then just, like, right before they're about to, like, drop them, the doctor's like, hold on, wait, no, I gotta give a speech now. And then when he says that, the governor says, okay, good, turn off the cameras. But then the doctor says, like, does a big speech. He says that he needs Zaitan, and that Zaitan is actually very valuable, still is lying, and has been lying and saying how it's not valuable, and he knows for a fact that it is valuable, and they should let him go. And Syl just loses his fucking mind. He's like, execute him now! Execute him! La, 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 execute him now! And sends his guards to go pull the lever, and like his guards fight with the Varos guards, and are like trying to get to this comically large lever. And it's just like kind of funny because it's just the Doctor and Jandar are standing there. They can't do anything. And they're just with nooses around their necks watching these people fight over the lever, you know?
Right.
And like one of them breaks free and then like grabs it and then someone grabs them. And they're just standing there like watching it. There's a lot of watching in this serial. But after a brief struggle, the lever is pulled and they drop through the floor. But the ropes weren't attached, so they don't get hung. I read something that the set fell at one point.
Oh, no.
They were not in their nooses at that time, so it was fine. But also, the nooses wouldn't have been connected anyway, so that's doubly fine. But still.
Frightening.
The governor is like, oh, you figured out my rope trick. And he's like, yeah, you turned off the cameras. You wouldn't have an execution with the cameras off. So I knew it was a ploy just to get information out of me. But he's like, and the governor's like, I'm going to figure out what's going on and who's telling the truth. And the doctor's like, well, I won't reveal anything until you let Perry go. You got to show me that Perry's okay. But Perry and Aretta are already strapped into the machine.
I know I already talked about how ridiculous this thing is and how it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But my favorite thing is that Perry turns into a bird.
Because she wants to fly away.
That is the reason they give. He's like, she must want to fly away out of this place. That's the scientific reason why she turns into a bird. That's one thing. Two, she looks amazing.
Yes.
Three, she looks amazing and I don't know how long she fucking sat in makeup for that. And
for like 5 minutes of screen time.
5 minutes of screen time and then it just goes away.
And she never leaves that table. She's just laying there. She doesn't do anything while in it. Which is weird because on the cover of the DVD and in promotional photos, she's standing up. And is in that, like, bird makeup.
Was there more of it? Because I do remember reading that, like, she was allergic to it, right?
Right. So, I don't think there is more to it.
I'm saying maybe they were going to do more, and then she was allergic, and then it was like, oh, well, we'll shoot this scene and then write something like she's out of it now. I don't know.
It does seem rather pointless. While they're first starting to turn, Syl and the chief officer, the bald guy, are watching through, like, a window, watching it happen, and Syl is very creepy about it. Just like, the one that's turning into a reptile almost looks attractive. He's like, maybe I'll take them back to my place and they can be my pets. Very disturbing.
It's too much.
So the doctor and the governor get there and they're like, wait, fuck, it's already started? The governor's like, I told you not to. And they're like, well, it's too late to reverse it. Meh.
And that's my other favorite thing is like, it's never been reversed before. And then they just do.
They go to Quillam and they're like, can you reverse it? And he's like, maybe, but I'm not. We never had it happen before and I'm not going to because science. We need to see what's gonna happen to these people. The doctor asks him, how long have you been, do you still experiment on yourself? And he's like, no. Also, how did you know that? And he's like, you're wearing a fucking mask.
That's the only reason why anybody ever wears half a mask.
And he rips his mask off and his face is like, got like big scars on it and like pink, purple, like wound looking things all over it. You know, reasons to wear a mask, I guess.
It's fine.
It's a little gooey.
It is a little gooey.
In the process, Jandar grabs a gun. The doctor gets one too. And he's like, turn this off. And Quillam says, go ahead, flip a switch. There are hundreds. You don't know which one it is. And then the doctor's like, you're right, fuck it, and shoots the controls.
Which is pretty good.
And so they rush back to wherever Perry and Aretta is. As they're going there, they like point a gun at the guard to get him to open the door. And then like the guard's leading him further in. It's the guard that I was talking about earlier that slapped Perry.
Oh.
That's not, still not why he's important yet. But Jondor's going to like shoot him in the back, and the doctor like pushes his gun hand up like, no, it's fine. Just have him leave and we'll go take care of this. And then they run into the room with Perry and Aretha, and Jondor points his gun again, and the doctor like pushes his gun hand up again like, stop trying to shoot things. Please. But yeah, then they just revert because it's like, we turned it off. They're fine now.
Like, they definitely said, like, it's too late. It's already happened. It's irreversible. And then they're like,
oh. Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, it didn't have enough time to take effect, so it just went back to normal. Okay, fine. Why? Why did we do any of that?
There is a slightly cute scene of basically the doctor has to, like, reaffirm that she's Perry because she's all, like, out of it. And she's like, gotta fly or whatever.
I've gotta fly away from this place.
I just gotta be free. But he's like, you're Perry. Purple Gilliam Brown. Perry. And she's like, Perry. And that scene's kind of cute.
It is.
And then they carry them out. They steal a golf cart. The doctor leaves Perry up against a wall while he hot wires the golf cart. And then when they go to pick her back up, she's just gone. But they slowly drive away from there. The doctor, so Jondar, and Aretha. And it's like a shootout's happening. By the way, the lasers from these guns move so fucking slowly.
Do they?
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it.
They're like, they're just very slow. I don't know why. It bugged me the whole episode. It's like, you guys have done lasers before. I mean, honestly, lasers move slower than they would normally anyway. But there's like a certain speed that makes sense.
That feels right.
Feels right visually for storytelling purposes. But like, this was like so slow. It was like gently wafting river. I don't know. Wafting. Is that the right word? I don't know. Flowing, maybe.
Okay.
Gently flowing river. Of laser. Back to Iraq and Edda watching this. And then Edda sees the doctor and is like, I thought he was dead. And he goes, no, pay attention.
It's one of my favorite scenes.
Mine too, because it's something I relate to.
I don't know why that might be.
It's because we'll watch a TV show and you'll be looking at your phone. And then I'll laugh at something and you'll be like, what? I'm like, it was a visual thing.
Look, I have ADHD. I need multiple screens in my life to function.
You need a fidget. What? But you lose all your fidgets.
Because I have ADHD. It's a problem. I couldn't tell you. I actually cleaned the bathroom and found one of my fidgets. It was one of the chew necklaces. And I was like, this is disgusting.
I'll get you some more.
Okay.
So Syl has had enough of this bullshit and is like, give me the money or starve. The governor's like, I'm not going to do it. The chief officer is like, I am forcing a final vote. I don't know. He gives some sort of like legal loophole law bullshit.
Why he can do that. Yeah.
So basically the governor's going to go on TV and say, kill me or not. Vote. Yes or no. And if they vote yes, he'll be killed. So they get taken to the thing. And, like, the governor is, like, bummed out. Perry's like, I can say, like, everything. Like, I can say, you know, what the truth of what's going on. And
right.
He's like, no one will believe you because you just got out of the reshapement center. Also, the chief officer is going to introduce this video. And he's going to say all of his lies. And they're going to believe him. And then it's going to get to me. And I'm just fucked. I'm fucked. We have no hope. And then he explains sort of how the system works. That he'll die and a new governor will be chosen basically at random. Could be anybody. And then he goes to that guard. The guard that I mentioned earlier that slapped Perry. This is where he becomes important.
Okay.
And I actually really like this scene. It's like filmed well. There's no music, which heightens the tension of the scene in a way that I like. He asks the guard to let Perry go free, at least. Or let me go. Go and you go get the doctor. And we'll solve all of this. We can fix this situation. And the guard says, no. Like, it's a very, like, last-ditch effort sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so dire. And it's sold by the way it's shot. Because, like, he walks up to the guard. And, like, as he walks up, the set kind of disappears. And, like, it's dark there. So it's just, like, they're almost in a void. And it's just the two of them looking at each other. It just seems very personal. And I don't know. It just feels very good. And, like, there's no music. And it's just sad. He's like, do me at least one favor. When the bombardment comes for me, kill Perry so that she doesn't have to go through that. And the guard says no again. And then he sits down and he turns to Perry and goes, well, I tried. We're just going to die together now.
It is. You're right. It's dire.
And I was like, shit, that's good. This is something that slightly bothers me. The Doctor, Aretta, and Jonda are just leaving? Or are they just trying to get back to wherever, like, stuff is happening so they can find Perry and stuff and get out of there and stop everything? Yeah, that's probably what they're doing. Anyway, they walk into some green light, and then everything slows down, and they start looking very happy. I don't know if this is a weed metaphor.
It feels like it might be weed.
That's going to get weirder later on, like, because then, like, they're walking, and then they see other versions of themselves, like, beckoning them to, like, come closer.
Acting that's happening there is so off-putting.
Yeah, they're like, oh, okay.
Ooh, come over here and let me show you something.
Why would you fall for that? If I saw, like, another version of me and you going, come closer, I'd be like, fuck off. We'll get to the resolution of that in a second. So, yes, it is time to vote.
So, here's what happens. We cut back to our couple, our bickering couple.
It's the governor's giving a very impassioned speech.
What is his name?
Arachinetta?
It's Eric. It's Eric. It's fantasy bullshit Eric. He votes twice. He hits no. Both buttons, no, at the same time, and seals her vote.
She is very pissed, because she was, like, very emotional during the governor's speech.
And she wanted to vote yes.
He loses. The green light starts beaming down on him, and he is being killed. His cells are being disintegrated, or whatever the fuck it does. And he just starts basically yelling out, like, everything's shit. You fucked up. Like, there's, you know, this is the worst case scenario. My death is on your hands. You know, whatever. Just yelling out, like, everything because he's like, doesn't matter, I'm gonna die. And, like, whatever he says inspires the guard to shoot the machine and turn it off. And then he joins with Perry and the governor and is like, what do I need to do to help? You're right. This situation is bad. Because also part of the thing he was saying to the guard when he was like trying to convince him earlier was like, I will die and they're going to choose a new governor, and it could be you. And they're going to treat you the same way they treated me. You will have to do this shit too. And even if they don't,
saying that like a new governor usually like gets his own guard. He like executes all the old guards.
And also, I mean, also they say, like, you let them into the reshapement center. They're not going to look kindly on that either. Even if you say, like, well, they forced me to. They're like, well, you should have resisted more. So whatever happens, you're fucked too. You're just as fucked as I am. But anyway, he decides to help them and they go to leave to find the doctor. Meanwhile, the doctor and them are walking towards their green duplicates and the doctor stops and goes, no! And he holds his hand out and the camera moves and it's very dramatic. And they use this image a lot promotionally. And he says, be gone! They disappear, and we see that we're almost about to walk into a giant, like, acid pit thing. And then they leave. They beat it by just being like, oh, it's not real. It's the fly thing all over again, really. So the doctor, Jonda, and Aretta find a dead body, and are chased by those guys wrestling over a bone. They're chased by them, and we find out they are cannibals. They were eating that dead guy, so that's fun. They run away from these cannibals, and they hide out in dangling vines that kill you on contact.
If you even so much as touch them, you will die instantly.
And they touch them so fucking much.
They touch them so much.
It kills one of the cannibals. Maybe both of them, I don't remember. They hide out in there. The doctor pulls some string out of his pocket and gives it to Jonda and says, can you rope some of these vines up without touching them? He's like, sure.
So they sure, it's extremely easy to not touch these.
So he does that. The chief officer and Quillum show up on their cart, get in amongst the vines. Quillum's like, I want revenge. And is very verbose about it. Let me look up the transcript real quick, because I want to read you the kind of Shakespearean bullshit that this guy says here. This man has insulted me. He must suffer for my humiliation. And the chief officer says, there's no time for revenge. Kill them quickly. And Quillum says, and deprive Varos of an example of how traitors are dealt with? The cameras are still functioning. Let the show begin. I want to hear them scream. Till I am deaf with pleasure, to see their limbs twist in excruciating agony. Ultimately, their blood must gush and flow along the gutters of Varos. The whole planet must delight in their torture and death.
Jesus Christ!
That's pretty intense. And then the doctor says, an excellent scenario. Not mad about the part. Which is a fantastic comeback. I love it. They cut the string and the vines swing down and kill everybody. Kills Quillum, kills the chief officer, kills a couple of guards hanging around. They're all taken out. So the doctor has killed...
four?
Depending on how you count it, anywhere from zero directly to six indirectly.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It doesn't count if it's indirect.
Maybe even seven. There's a good handful of people in this vine scene. They leave. They reunite with the governor and Perry. Doctor says, don't touch the vines. And she's like, what are they, poison ivy? He's like, kind of.
There's so much worse than that.
Meanwhile, Syl orders an invasion from his people and is very excited that they're coming to invade and he's going to take over the planet. And he's like, yeah, water me! Water me! Cassandra has to be a reference to this, right?
Absolutely.
From New Who, the flat skin lady. So his guards start spraying him down with a water bottle.
Because he's got to be wet.
Got to look good for this invasion. And then he's like, gentle, gentle! Then everyone comes in and Syl says, hey, doesn't matter that you're here. I'm taking over. And then the governor walks over to the screens and he says, actually, we just got a thing saying the invasion's been canceled. And they say to accept any price because Zaitan ore has been found somewhere else. It's apparently not just on this planet. So this whole solution...
wait, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this solution comes the fuck out of nowhere.
But I'm saying if they found it somewhere else, why would they accept any price? They had a monopoly and now they don't. How does that fix it? Like, they could just go fuck off and get it from somewhere else, right?
Well, I think it's because they're like, we don't need to invade this place. So just get what you can. We need it right now. So just get what you can. And it's not important that we invade this place anymore.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it doesn't make any sense. They found another source of this very rare mineral.
Report of Zaitan 7 traces found an asteroid biosculptor. Invasion of Varos canceled. New supplies of Zaitan 7 required urgently. Start shipments immediately. Pay any price asked by Varosians.
Okay. So it's like it's not worth it to invade because we can go to this other place.
But we need some now.
But we need some now because you've been fucking around for too long.
We can get them somewhere else, but we need some now. So just go ahead and accept whatever price they ask for because we need it now.
Allow it.
Sure. But anyway, Syl is very upset about this. And there's a joke here that I didn't catch, which is apparently an ad lib by Colin Baker. And it's the worst fucking joke. Are you ready for this? I bet you didn't catch it either, Tony.
Oh, what was it?
So Syl screams, because he's like, how much? And the governor says 20 credits per unit when they were going to give seven. So he's like, 20, ah. And then the doctor like basically nudges Perry and goes, I think he needs more than water, Perry, eh? It's a... I wish you could see Tony's face right now. You're not even on camera. Perry, eh? It's a Perry joke.
I hate that.
It's a pun, you see, a play on words. I did not catch it, but it is definitely what he says.
I'm glad I missed it. If I had to hear that live with my own ears, this podcast would be over.
Well, when he does say, I think he needs more than water, Perrier, she's like cyanide, kill this motherfucker. He almost turned me into a bird. They're like, can we do anything for you, doctor? And he asks for some Zaitan. And they're like, sure. And then he basically leaves. Syl's like, you can't leave me here. And then the doctor says, now you see me? And then he leaves. Then the governor gives a speech on TV. And he basically says, TV's been canceled. We're free. And like, there's no more executions, no more torture, none of that shit. And they're free. And then they're like, well, what do we do now? And then like, her face sinks and she's like, I don't know. And then they turn towards the TV and it's just static. And that's the end of the episode.
Great. It's so great.
There is a deleted ending.
Oh.
Which I like the scene. I see why they cut it because that's a strong ass ending.
Yeah.
There was a scene on the TARDIS that's actually kind of adorable. They're getting ready to leave or whatever. The doctor asks Perry, you all right? And she says, apart from the residual side effects of foul pest, I feel fine. And then he's like, as long as you stay away from millet and cuttlefish. And then they both like look at each other and just like start cracking up. And it's like really cute. He says that sort of like out of the corner of his eye. And then like she gives him a look and then they just start laughing at each other.
Aww.
And that's like really cute. I understand completely why they cut it.
Yeah. The ending of this episode is very good. What do we do now?
Static. What do they do?
I don't know. It's over. The episode is over.
That's the end of Vengeance on Varos. But that's it. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for final thoughts. So I'm going to play an ad right now.
This is an ad. This is an ad. Hey. This is an ad.
No, that's you singing.
I'm lifelong ensign Charles Kelso.
I'm Federation envoy Keith Johnson.
I'm Ferengi counselor Veronica Dashel.
And I'm Andorian mess hall cook R. Allen Seiler.
And we're the crew of Earth Station Trek. Join us for
episode reviews,
discussions of themes and characters,
and all the news from across the Trekverse.
Our logs cover the full gamut of Star Trek.
From the groundbreaking original series
to the future of the franchise on Paramount Plus,
with lots of stops in between.
Join our crew aboard Earth Station Trek for your regular podcast escape into the Trekverse.
Go bald or go home!
Now the ad is over, and then, Tony, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, it is the Watchathon of Rassilon, that's true.
What? Oh, God, you're going back to the beginning bit.
It really is.
Watchathon of Rassilon. I don't know the lyrics to our own theme song.
I've never heard that song.
I've not listened to it in a while. I just drop it in and go.
Yeah, I have not heard it in a very long time.
One day we'll do live shows and everybody will be singing it. Like, and we'll be like, what the fuck?
What? There are words to it? That happens occasionally. Like, occasionally when we have Vince on, they will play us a live one. And I'm like, oh, our theme song is nice.
Yeah, it's very good.
Anyway, it's time for final thoughts. I like this one. This is one of the first Six Doctor serials that I enjoyed, I think.
Without reservations?
Yeah. Well, not completely. Without too many. You can't think about the plot, like, too much. But I really like the concept of having these characters who are watching Doctor Who. I think that's really fun. Not just really fun, but, like, they do it in a way that is, like, really enjoyable to me. Like, I dig that, like, meta shit. The Doctor and Perry finally seem like, you can definitely do this thing, like, in the deleted scene that you were describing of, like, her giving him, like, a annoyed look only to, like, break out in laughter. That is exactly the kind of thing that hasn't been happening. And so their dynamic was a lot better in the serial. The characters are weird. Like, you definitely have people in the serial, like, giving 110% in a performance, in a weird performance. And that's always going to be good. There's a lot of good stuff in this one. It was, so far, one of my favorite Six Doctor serials.
Out of the three.
Out of the three.
I agree. There's, like, a few things I don't super care for. Like, there's maybe a couple too many characters. Like, there's way too many villains. I don't, like, and some of them are not as interesting as others. They maybe could have been combined a little bit.
There's something that happens to me, too, like, after I watch something, or even as I'm watching it, where I'm kind of editing things. You know, like, if I had just sat down without, like, the notes and told you the story of this episode, I would not have had, I can't even think of his name, but the Phantom of the Opera guy.
Quillum.
I would not have told you about Quillum at all.
Despite the fact that he has some decent scenes. Like, yeah. That evil speech I delivered.
But, like, I don't think I would, like, that information would just be gone from my brain in the context of this story.
I might have remembered Quillum. I would have forgotten about the chief officer.
Oh,
the
yeah.
bald guy who's, like, helping out Syl. He's nothing. You got Syl. You got, I mean, even the governor a little bit's not the greatest guy to begin with. Okay, there's even, like, another character, like, I forgot about entirely. There's this one guy who, like, when the governor's like, I don't know what to do, and he's like, what you should do is you should execute Jondar and make a big, like, show of it. Set up the little laser thing to explode, and you don't know when it's gonna explode, and that'll be tension, and it'll sell really well. And that'll get people back on your side, so the next time you do a vote, they'll be more likely to vote for you.
Mm.
That's a whole scene I forgot to talk about entirely. And, like, that guy is, like, kind of a character for, like, that scene.
And then never scene, again.
And then, yeah, he just kind of disappears. I only remember him because he looks a lot like a guy you work with. But, like, it's, like, too many characters. Like, you could have given that to Quillum.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, probably would have made more sense to be Quillum. But yeah, just like tighten some stuff up here and there. There's like, it's even too many like good guys. Like you have that guard, Rondell, who turns to good and then dies immediately. So like, that's not great. The Doctor and Perry at the beginning of the serial is a little long and padded out and doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's just filling time. And even, and the resolution seems a little sloppy with Syl and the invasion. But everything else is so much fun and so good, I don't mind. Like, I love Arachneta. I love that plot line so much. I love the meta stuff. The Doctor and Perry are finally, like, clicking a little bit. Perry didn't, like, straight up annoy me this serial. There's, like, some really good scenes. Syl is great. I love Syl so much. And I like that one scene where the governor's basically pleading for his life. I like the governor a lot too. He's sort of morally gray and then gets better. I don't know. He's an interesting character. So there's a lot of good stuff, and it's fun, and it has by far the best Doctor Who cliffhanger the show has ever done. By far. Love it. Love that episode one cliffhanger. So yeah, I'm excited. I was worried that maybe this whole era of Doctor Who would suck, but it doesn't.
There's still some good stuff.
So before we go, is there anything we need to plug?
Honestly, no.
Yeah, your season wrapped, right?
Yeah. It's not streaming yet, and it'll be streaming soon.
If not already, we don't know. Like, it's the future. Maybe it's streaming, but we don't know yet. At this point in time in recording, it's not streaming yet. Season 1 is on WatchHeartlandTV.com.
Season 1 is streaming on WatchHeartlandTV.com. Season 2 and Season 1 both are like currently airing in syndication. I think the syndication schedule bumped back around. The way that the syndication schedule works is that it plays like some new and then some old, and then I don't know. I just make them. I don't do the syndication schedule, but that is currently airing in syndication, and so it might be airing over the air on a station near you. It airs Fridays at 8, and you can watch
on WatchHeartlandTV.com. There's a live stream.
There's a live stream, and you can watch it there. And so you can watch Season 2 that way, or you can watch Season 1 on demand.
I've been writing articles for TheDip.com. That's D-I-P-P, two P's. I've written 3 articles so far. Maybe I've written more by now. Again, it's so weird doing these things in the past. I've got 2 Doctor Who articles that you guys should check out. The first one is Doctor Who Dicks. I rank all of the props that look like dicks in Doctor Who. It's called The Fallacy of Doctor Who. I wrote another article about Doctor Who called Doctor Who Should Totally Rip Off Farscape, in which I pitch an idea for a season of Doctor Who based on stuff that happened in the newest season. I basically pitch an entire series of Doctor Who, an 8-episode series.
And it's amazing.
Thank you. I also wrote a Star Wars article called Star Wars Younglings that basically says that The Mandalorian is setting up a spinoff of basically Muppet Babies, but it's Star Wars Babies. So check that out as well. My dad did art for that one. I may have written more by now. I don't know. I'm writing articles for The Dip, so check that out.
One more thing. Please fucking follow me on Twitter. I'm like really close to having 100 followers. Here's what happened. I had a Twitter that I had for like a really long time. And then it occurred to me that I should have a Twitter that's like my actual full name that because people like ask for your Twitter, and I'm always like, when you apply to places, and I'm always like, no, you can't have that. But I have one now. He's like, I guess like my public Twitter. And but
it's so fancy.
Because I did that, I don't have any followers on it. So please follow me at Forward Power as FWDPWR. I'm like just under 100. If you can give me to 100 followers on Twitter, I'd appreciate it. I'm very funny. What face are you making?
Face for the patrons. I agree. You are on Twitter. So.
I retweet your Dip articles, so.
Oh, yeah. You're very funny when you do that. I love you.
Uh-huh.
Watch The Unseen World. Also,
you know what? If you could just go ahead and unfollow Joe while you're at it.
My Twitter handle is @RaysGreat. My Twitter handle is @ChrisCeriza, @BenPadden. I have a lot of Twitter handles. You can just unfollow all of them. Anyway.
That would break Christine.
Don't unfollow those people. If you liked this episode of the podcast, though, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And if you'd like to help us out, you can leave a review on iTunes. You can also become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/watchathon. Or you can sponsor an episode by purchasing a DVD or Blu-ray from our Amazon wish list, which you can find at watchyourassalon.com/support. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can unfollow him on Twitter. You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. I also want to give a special shout out to Vincent E.L. for providing us with that theme song that we don't listen to anymore.
Hey, thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their music at soundcloud.com/VincentEL or VincentEL.bandcamp.com. Tune in next time when we talk about The Mark of the Ronnie. I also want to say, after Mark of the Ronnie, we're going to be doing the second Doctor animations. That have come out, Fury from the Deep and the Faceless ones, not necessarily in that order, but we're probably not going to be doing our live streams for those. We might be just watching them and recording them. We'll still do
They'll
videos.
They'll be available.
But I don't think we're going to schedule a live stream because there's more of it to get through and we might need to break it up and like it's a whole thing. It'll be easier to get through.
Yeah, rather than doing like 3 live streams randomly when we're like, oh yeah, we can go ahead and finish that. We're just going to record them and put them up and you can still watch along with us basically.
But you'll be watching us in the past and not live. But we're still going to put them up. We'll be back to live streams after we finish that when we go on with the two Doctors.
That just keeps me from having to watch like 12 hours of Doctor Who in a row or whatever it is.
Yeah. I don't know if it's 12 hours, but it's a lot.
It feels like it sometimes.
It's going to definitely at least take us 2, maybe 3 nights to get through. So there might even be a slight delay in the podcast. I don't know. But we want to cover that as a way to lead up to the two Doctors. Because I've been wanting to watch those animations anyway. And it seems like appropriate to do it right before we get back to having the second Doctor on I was going to say new show. This show came out in the fucking 80s. But you know what I'm saying. Anyway, we'll be back next time with Mark of the Ronnie. Until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
And cut.
And cut it. Now.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.